The 13th hour of the Elvis Presley story starts with a secret. For over 7 months, RCA and Colonel Parker's office have kept the story quiet, denying all rumors. But in the summer of 72, the truth is out. Elvis and his wife Priscilla are separating. In a year, they will be divorced. The first journalist to talk to Priscilla was Colin Dangart of the National Star.
As a father, she found him very difficult to handle because he was so lenient with Lisa. If she wanted to stay up, Elvis would say that was okay. If she wanted to eat potato chips instead of dinner, well, Elvis would say that was okay too. As she said, it made it very difficult when Elvis gave her $5 for the Tooth Fairy, as he did when she visited him in Vegas after she had just given her 50 cents. But she's trying very much to give Lisa the same values about money as what her parents gave her. She's trying to teach her how to handle money, how not to throw it away, and how not to let people take advantage of you over it. Whereas Elvis's attitude towards money is heavily influenced, as she describes, by his desire to share. It's almost a reckless desire to share.
I see a change has come into our lives. It's not the same as it used to be. And it's not too late to realize our mistake. We're just not right for each other. Love has slipped away, left us only friends. We almost seem like strangers. All that's left between us are the memories we share. Times we thought we cared for each other. There's nothing left to do but go our separate ways and pick up all the pieces left behind us. And maybe someday, somewhere along the way, another love. Someday when she's older, maybe she will understand why her mom and dad are not together. The tears that she will cry when I have to say goodbye will tear at my heart forever. There's nothing left to do but go our separate ways and pick up all the pieces left behind us. And maybe someday, somewhere along the way, another love will find us. Oh, 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 oh,
oh. Separate Ways carries with it the ring of autobiography, and it goes under the nation's top 20 song list. At the same time, in January 1973, Elvis goes to Hawaii for the most unusual concert of his career. This is the world's first concert by satellite. Not only does Elvis sing to a huge crowd in Honolulu, he sings to much of the world. First, the signal is beamed to Asia, then it's relayed to Europe. And after the 90-minute show is broadcast months later on television in the United States, the Colonel will claim a staggering audience of 1.5 billion. It seems appropriate that one of the songs from the concert is usually identified with another king of song, a man who was then in retirement, Frank Sinatra.
And now, in this air, so I face final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every byway, oh and more. much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exception. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway. Oh, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall. Had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh, no, not me, I did it my way. Or what is a man, what has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the words he truly feels, and not the words.
Elvis goes on tour in April. In May, he's back in Lake Tahoe. The satellite show is a huge success, but his health is poor, and some of the live performances seem weak and flabby. Elvis looks puffy, is clearly overweight. For the first time in his career, he's forced to cancel some shows.
He, at that time, contracted a form of pneumonia, and it was a lung congestion. His lungs were filling. So we had to cancel, and they took him back to Memphis, and he went to the hospital, and they got him all cleared up. But you know and I know that when we catch the flu or mono or something like that, and you begin to feel better, you think, well, I'm well. But you're not actually well. It's bed rest for a long time, and then it'll go away. He said he felt good, and he got up, we went out and performed, and by golly, he caught it again.
Elvis continues touring in June and July, and a month later opens for 4 weeks in Las Vegas, where once again it's an Elvis summer festival. In contrast, it's an old Hank Williams song that captures the mood of the time.
I'd like to sing a song that's probably the saddest song I've ever heard. Goes like this.
Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is winding low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. Did you ever see a robin weep when leaves began to die? That means he's lost the will to live. I'm so lonesome I could cry. The silence of a falling star lights up a purple sky. And as I wonder where you are, I'm so lonesome I could cry. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
A romance of 14 years is dissolved, and we hear how it happened next on The Elvis Presley Story.
Now we have a central location for you to grab all of your downloads for your iPods and other digital devices, or just simply to come over and listen to the Jerry Pippin shows on your computer. Over the next few weeks, you will see us develop this website into a premier spot for easy access to get your favorite radio programs. It's iPodShows.net. Join us for variety radio at its best. That's iPod Shows, iPodShows.net.
I remember as a child I used to hear music that they played, Lord, with a feel. Some call it folk, some call it soul. But people, let me tell you, it was rock and roll. I was raised on rock, got that rhythm in my soul. Every day when I get home, I hand on my radio, listening to the music that my eyes made. Every single record the DJ's played, from Honky Tonk to Hound Dog to Johnny B. Goode, Chain Gang, Love is Train, Knuckle. I was raised on rock, got that rhythm in my soul. I was born to love the beat, all things are rock and roll. It was a fad, thought it would pass, but the younger generation knew it would last. Time's gone by, the beat goes on, and every time I hear it, Lord, it takes me home. I was raised on rock, got the rhythm in my soul. Every day when I go home, I can hold. Mother played recordings of Beethoven's Fifth, Mozart's sonatas down the classical list. My papa loved to listen to those country songs while I was in the back room knocking on. I was raised on rock, got that rhythm in my soul. I was born in love to be, I was made for rock and roll.
This song makes its first appearance on the best-selling record charts in autumn 1973. Almost simultaneously, on October 11th, Elvis and Priscilla make their appearance in Superior Court in Los Angeles.
Elvis Presley, the 38-year-old singing movie idol who rocketed to stardom on his hit record Heartbreak Hotel in 1956 and successfully pursued a Hollywood career of some 30 films, has now been divorced by his wife, 28-year-old Priscilla Boileau Presley. The couple met 14 years ago in Germany, where Elvis was serving Army duty and where Priscilla's father, an American Air Force officer, was also based. She later returned to the United States to live in his Graceland estate in Memphis, Tennessee, while Elvis was based in Hollywood making movies. They were married 7 years ago in a civil ceremony at the Las Vegas Aladdin Hotel. This morning, it was an amicable parting. They kissed goodbye on the courthouse steps after the closed hearing. Priscilla received $725,000 in cash, half the proceeds of the sale of their Los Angeles home, 5% of his music publishing company, and $6,000 a month in alimony for the next 10 years. Serious discussions of the divorce apparently had started in July of 1972, although Elvis didn't want the divorce. But both had been seeing others. Specifically for Priscilla, it has been dates with a karate instructor, and for Elvis, it has been a former Miss Tennessee beauty contest winner. Priscilla has been awarded custody of the couple's 7-year-old daughter, little Lisa Presley. This is Hank Grant in Hollywood.
Priscilla explained how it happened to journalist Colin Dangard.
Their attitude now is that it's all been a great experience, but now she feels that she wants to develop individually as a person, and as she says, it's as though I've grown up now.
Guitarist John Wilkinson remembers how the divorce affected Elvis.
And when it broke off, that was a big shock, a big change for him. Maybe not quite the happy man that I knew when I first met him. He started getting into more gospel. He began to think more of his religion and getting a little more inner feeling of himself, maybe trying to express himself a little bit more. He began to talk more on stage. But it appeared to me that he began to pay more attention to his music, wanting to do a better job. We noticed that we were working harder, that we were having to put out a little bit more effort. There was a real intense desire to do more, to go a little bit further, to do a little more time on stage for the people, as a matter of fact. Where it used to be a 45-minute show, we've been doing an hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes, and people were not getting tired of it.
Well, I remember when I was just children, time the people used to treat the neighbors like a fellow man. Them all day singing them big brown beagles, when a man was proud to walk up and shake his neighbor's hand. Lord, you talk about the good times, talk about the good times. Oh, if you ever needed help, a friend was there. Some good neighbor to help lift your burden. And the simple joys of life, a friend will share. But the times are harder, and the people are changing. Though most folks can tell you who their neighbors are. All the guns are loaded, the front doors are bolted. Ain't this old world taking hate and fear just a little too far? Let's talk about the good times. Talk about the good times. Oh, wish I could go back to the days I'm speaking of. When a friend would meet you and a smile would greet you. What this old world needs now, a little old-fashioned love.
After the divorce and after regaining his health, Elvis turns again to the ancient martial art of karate.
This is Ed Parker's, Ed Parker's Kent Karate Studios.
His instructor explains Elvis's level of proficiency.
Bam! Something touches you and your hand reacts as if it had a mind of its own, do you see? But then you have to immediately determine whether what you're doing is to the right person. I mean, it might be a child touching you, and bam, you turn around, you know? So when you get to the higher levels of the spontaneous stage, your hands act independent of your body, but yet controlled by the mind, you see? And that's the level he's at.
Elvis studies karate mostly as a mental discipline, but it has practical value, too. Guitarist John Wilkinson tells of an incident in Las Vegas.
Some fellows out of an opposing karate school or something had gotten up there, and they had been overheard in the line that they were going to see how far they could stretch Presley. They were going to get on stage. And the stage is sacred ground for any performer. You don't get on the stage. There's already enough people up there. And there was a very unfortunate incident where his fellows and himself had to more or less defend themselves in a sense, and some people were hurt. It was so fast, man, it lasted about 3 seconds. It was all over, and just, in fact, it happened so fast that we didn't even quit playing.
I'm a steamroller, baby. I'm bound to roll all over you. I'm a steamroller, baby. I'm bound to roll all over you. I'm gonna inject your soul with sweet rock and roll. I'm a cement mixer, a churning urn, a burning fox. I'm a cement mixer, a churning urn, a burning fox. I'm a demolition derby, a hefty hog, steaming jaw.
In a moment, the Elvis Presley story travels round the world, not by satellite, but by radio.
When it comes to UFO and paranormal DVDs, people are coming to ShopJerryPippin.com. They know they get fast service, lower prices, and a unique selection. Now our inventory is expanding, and soon you will be amazed at the fine product selection we will be offering. So don't fight the mall crowds. Just click on ShopJerryPippin.com. It's the convenient way to shop for the 21st century. Try it. You'll like it. ShopJerryPippin.com.
Part of the Elvis Presley story is statistical. Never can you forget the large numbers, the $1 million price tag on Elvis's movie contracts, the equally impressive sums he's paid for personal appearances, the millions of record buyers and moviegoers in Colonel Parker's fan club organization, the hundreds of millions of records sold. Radio provides more figures. How many times is an Elvis record played? And on how many stations all over the world? It's possible because there are so many songs available. And because Elvis is so universally popular that at all hours of every day, somewhere in the world, Elvis's voice is heard. With his thoughts about this unique phenomenon, entertainer Sammy Davis.
Elvis is like baseball, man. You know, he really is. He's like football, baseball. He's doesn't mean that everybody likes the game, but boy, does it create excitement. There isn't a place you can go in this world that they do not know about Elvis Presley.
This is your licking music giant, Radio Belize, the mighty Music 834. Tom Greenwood here. Elvis Presley also here. And it's Rags to Riches.
Far East Network Sendai and the 10 o'clock session. This is your host, Army Sergeant Lloyd Iyer. It's the finest sounds around with that new singing sensation, Elvis Presley.
The Elvis era. After Presley's discharge from the military, the Elvis magic continued. 10 years ago, on this date, Billboard magazine listed as the number one best-selling record in the country an Elvis recording. They said, it's a new sound. It's a new Elvis. It's now or never.
These blue suede shoes, already popular through these 300 Fiji islands.
Ngo na vale nika kamburaki na Radio Fiji. Yango endo tel na sere ka kilele bukina ko Elvis Presley. Yako na tokai na sere membaleta na songo ni lasa si party.
New Jerry here, KFOX Long Beach and KFOX FM Los Angeles. It's interesting to recall that one of the first hits Elvis had on RCA Victor in the 50s was an old Bill Monroe bluegrass standard called Blue Moon of Kentucky. Here now is the country Elvis Presley with another song composed by the father of bluegrass music, Bill Monroe. It's called Little Cabin on the Hill.
New Alamo and its store want to bring Elvis Presley back to Hawaii. And we need your help. Elvis will make his first personal appearance after his army discharge if Hawaii responds. Now, a huge scroll is now located in the record department of the new Woolworth's Ala Moana store. Those of you who come down to sign have a chance of winning records, albums, radio.
Yes, Elvis Presley, the king himself, singing for you one night with you. And that's what we're spending with you.
Every night we have a late date. For midnight,
that's a great set, Mutt.
Great
yeah.
set.
A radio
cool.
set, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Cool set. Cool set for a cool night here in Phoenix.
Right. That involved Joni Mitchell, the Grateful Dead, and Elvis Presley.
Yeah, Elvis the man.
The man himself.
Hey, listen, talking about that man, we got to talk about pants. You know, the lower half.
Hit song by Elvis Presley. You don't have to say you love me.
When I said, I mean you.
This is the TO-530 Record Expresso on the Big Boss Network Springbok Radio. And it's a high, groovy high from Nitty Gritty Gresh, David Gresham, hitting it to you nationwide with the hot ones.
Again, kick off slot to Elvis Presley and his latest chart contender, Rags to Riches.
Paddle Day program on KJR with a brand new number one record from the number one singer of 1958 on the number one radio station of 1958 and soon to be number one on the moon. We gotta get up there before Dick Clark.
But first of all, a word for our Hindustani listeners.
Party namaki gink Elvis Presley ki film Loving You kahe.
Hey, welcome back. And if anybody should ever ask you what you're watching, it's American Bandstand here on ABC TV. And this is the number one singer once again, according to the Bandstand poll. The male singer of 1957, Elvis Presley.
That's LWHOT in Youngstown, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. Don't forget tonight, the Big Hop at the Elms Ballroom with Nick Barilla and his orchestra. And tonight, of course, is the night that I'll be wearing the shirt that Elvis signed twice. He signed his name on the back. And sometime during the hop, I'll be taking off my jacket and jumping into the crowd. And the first girl that can rip the shirt off my back can have Elvis's autograph. Maybe two girls will. And remember when we were backstage up there in Cleveland, Elvis asked me why I wanted his signature on my shirt.
Danny Pierre kicks off a program on Israel's Pop Music Network. What's the program all about? Elvis Presley's 15 years in show business in Israel and around the world.
ברחבי עולם הפופ יתחילו בקרוב חגיגות לציון מלאות 15 שנה להופעתה של התופעה הכמעט גדולה ביותר בעולם ההוא, עולם הפופ. Elvis Presley.
I got something to tell you that I think you want to know. That my eyes are on you, baby, since a long time ago. Now I finally got the nerve and I'm gonna make my move. Now don't you try to turn me off, cause it's gonna be hard to do. I got a thing about you, baby, ain't nothing I can do. I got a thing about you, baby, a thing about loving you. Ain't no two ways about it, baby, your love was meant for me. Knows that I can't do without it, it fits me to a T. Ooh, there's something about you, baby, can't get you off my mind. I know that I can't live without you, I think about you all the time. I got a thing about you, baby, ain't nothing I can do. I got a thing about you, baby, a thing about loving you. Ain't it just like a woman when she knows she's got a man? She'll ring you out and turn you about in the palm of her hand. Then she starts thinking that maybe she'll put you in a bind. She'll give you just a little love and it'll drive you out of your mind. I got a thing about you, baby, ain't nothing I can do. I got a thing about you, baby, a thing about loving you. I got a thing about you, baby, ain't nothing I can do. I got a thing about you, baby, think about loving you.
I've Got a Thing About You, Baby was Elvis's first hit for 1974. And 1974 was Elvis's 20th year in show business. We asked record producer Phil Spector what kind of influence he thought Elvis was. Spector's answer began with a story about one of John Lennon's songs, Instant Karma.
The tune, of course, was all original. It was John's message and it was John's speech, you know, and John's idea to write the song, but basically, we were trying to make a 50s record, and I've always was influenced by those early 50 records, especially the ones by Elvis.
Instant karma's gonna get you, gonna knock you right on the head.
You better get yourself together, pretty soon you're gonna be dead.
Could have sung Instant Karma. We would have done it the same way. And everybody said, I mean, we did it with Ringo Starr. We put the same tape echo on Ringo Starr and he had a number one record. Elvis Presley doesn't know how good Elvis Presley's old records were, or he wouldn't be making the records he's making today. Presley's production today is nothing. I mean, a lot of the credit has to go to what they did in those early days. And Sam Phillips was daddy. He was Big Daddy. I don't know what they say about him or what he really did or really didn't do, but that studio had a lot to do with the success of Elvis Presley. We used to learn and memorize all the licks, you know, all the guitar licks. Everyone did. I spent a lot of time with George. We'd sit around and play guitar together, George and I. He has all those Scotty Moore licks down. On John's big jukebox in his house, I have one too here. We have a big picture of Elvis Presley, but we don't keep the new records on. We keep the old records on. I mean, his records sound like, honestly, like Peggy Lee's records. I mean, they're just records. They're all right. They're nice songs. And they're not a put-down on his ability, because there is no put-down to him. He's incredible.
No less incredible is the amount of product Elvis released. Counting all the repackages and reissues, Elvis and RCA, under the direction of Colonel Parker, marketed a whopping 18 new albums in only 2.5 years. Most performers would be grateful for 5 albums in the same time. There are obvious advantages to having so much product available, mostly economic. But just as clearly, the overall quality dropped. Phil Spector is acknowledged to be one of the most influential and creative producers in the history of popular music. We asked him how he would record Elvis.
We'd cut him really good. We'll get good guys. We'd either get like Klaus Voormann or Carl Radel on bass, and we'd get maybe George to play guitar, and we'd get a good section together, and we'd work, and we'd spend some time, and we'd get the right tune for him, and we'd record him right. Elvis Presley is somebody very special, and he should be recorded very specially.
The Elvis Presley story continues in a moment with the strangest record in Elvis's career, and Elvis himself talking about himself.
Direct from the entertainment capital of the world, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Jerry Pippen with entertainment news, views, and interviews.
It's a great new season. Join us on VegasRadioShow.com as we bring the sizzle and the excitement of the world's most exciting city, Las Vegas.
There are 3 national concert tours in 1974, plus the usual engagements in Lake Tahoe and Las Vegas. And again, Elvis is threatened by pneumonia, forcing him to cancel some performances. Elvis feels threatened in another way. When he's criticized for being overweight, he explains that he's wearing a bulletproof vest. Like some other performers, notably Mick Jagger, Elvis thinks someone might take a shot at him.
Lord, help me walk another mile, just one more mile. I'm tired of walking all alone. Lord, help me smile another smile, just one more smile. You know I just can't make it on my own. I never thought I needed help before. I thought that I could get by myself. But now I know I just can't take it anymore. With an humble heart on bended knee, I'm begging you, please, help me. Come down from your golden throne to me, to lowly me. I need to feel the touch of your tender hand. Remove the chains of darkness. Let me see, Lord, let me see. just where I fit into your master plan. I never thought I needed help before. I thought that I could get by myself. Can't take it anymore. With an humble heart on bending knee, I'm begging you, please help me. With an humble heart on bending knee, I'm begging you, please help me.
In many ways, Elvis Presley is unique. It's difficult to imagine, for example, that anyone could be universally praised so highly. Certainly he's criticized as a performer, but almost never is he attacked on a personal level. Instead, you hear comments like,
Elvis was very devoted to his mother and father.
He was just a normal teenager.
He was very shy, unassuming. He's extremely courteous.
One thing was his consistency in attending Sunday school. He was there every Sunday.
He would talk about things of God to his friends, even after he had reached stardom.
People didn't know him except people that was close to him.
He always, to me, seemed like that he was real interested in music.
The thing that I noticed particularly was a Negro feel to his voice.
One of the incredible things about Elvis Presley has been his ability to combine the types of music.
He was, without a doubt, the white idol of his time. He was the thing that everybody needed.
Elvis's style is really very divergent.
Now, he exactly knows every minute what he wants to do.
Good, clean, beautiful entertainment.
To me, Elvis isn't acting. When you see his movie, he's living exactly like probably he would if he had his choice.
Elvis is a very lonesome-eyed, lonesome-natured, introspective individual. And you can bet your bottom dollar that he hasn't changed till this day.
He lived quietly with a large group of friends.
Elvis was very ambitious.
He never showed the power that he actually had.
He knew a lot of us cannot afford a lot of pleasure things, and at one time he couldn't. It did him more good to see us enjoy stuff than for him himself. That's one thing he really did. He shared it with everybody.
He's done so many things and has done them all well. This shows how complete an artist a man really is.
He's probably the best performer in the world.
He'll be great forever.
I doubt seriously if there's a person that I've ever run across that loves to sing, loves to make music more than Elvis Presley.
Oh, get on!
I left my home in Norfolk, Virginia, California, home of mine. I straddled that Greyhound and rode him into Raleigh and on across Carolina. Trouble to turn into a struggle halfway across Alabama. Well, a hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham. Well, right away I bought me a through train ticket right across Mississippi clean. I was on that midnight flyer out of Birmingham smoking in the New Orleans. Somebody help me get out of Louisiana, just help me get to Houston town. There are people there who care a little about me and have let the poor boy down. Lady. The promised land.
By summer 1974, dozens and dozens of Elvis' shows had been recorded by RCA. Colonel Parker thought it'd be fun and profitable to assemble an album of the outtakes, the grunts and groans and odd bits of patter that occur between songs.
We'll go again, man.
So the Colonel collected about 45 minutes of this and released an album on his own label, selling it in the lobby during concerts.
That's it. It just tapers off to nothing.
The fans loved it.
Before the evening is over, I will have made a complete total fool of myself.
They actually bought it.
What we do next, Lynn? You got any idea?
And told their friends. So the Colonel went to RCA.
What was that?
And he convinced them that they should release the album nationally.
Where's Granny? Okay, Granny, hang in there.
The Colonel swings a lot of weight, and RCA winced and said okay.
Just a minute, let me find out what I'm going to do next year.
The record's called Having Fun with Elvis on Stage, a talking album only. And it makes a wonderful gift.
That's it. Thank you very much.
On the same album, Elvis provided a mini biography.
I'd like to tell you a little bit about, how I started and when I started and all that stuff, because a lot of it has been so inaccurate. A lot of people haven't really known. What really happened? I just got out of high school, and I was driving a truck, and I was studying to be an electrician, and I got wired the wrong way, man. I was studying to be an electrician, and one day I was driving a truck, and I had a lunch break, and I went into a little record shop, and I made a record for a guy, a little demonstration record. Well, a guy put the record out in Memphis. 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 Let's go. That's my hometown. You gotta be loose when you say it, you know. Where you from, boy? Memphis. No. If I get a loser, I'm gonna just fall apart. Anyway, the guy put the record out and it became pretty big in Memphis and all over the South in certain parts, but nobody had really heard of me. So I was working for about a year and a half in nightclubs and football fields, barns, Louisiana hayride, yes, sir. And then I met Colonel Parker. So they arranged to put me on television, and they put me on television, and somewhere in 1956 or something, and I did four shows on a Jackie Gleason show, and I did three or four shows on the Ed Sullivan show. I did the Steve Allen show, and they had me dressed in a tuxedo on the Steve Allen show and stand perfectly still. I couldn't move. I was standing like this. And had me singing to a dog, man. It was a dog here, you know. And I'm saying, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog." And the dog's looking at me like, you know, "What are you doing, calling me names or what?" You know, so. And they photographed me from here up. And so forth, you know. It was pretty hairy back then. So, anyway, I went into the Army in 1958. I got drafted. I went to the Army for 2 years. I came out in 1960. Then I made some movies, you know, G.I. Blues and Blue Hawaii and several pictures that did very well for me. Thank you. But as the years went by, I really missed the people, the audience contact. I really was getting bugged. I was doing so many movies, and I couldn't really do what I could do. You know, they would say action, and I'd go, what, Memphis, you know. And I said, that ain't what you're supposed to say, and I said, huh? So, anyway, it all kept going, and I really wanted to come back, and so that's why I'm here tonight, and I just want to give you a brief.
It's not difficult to evaluate Elvis's role in the world. Clearly, he's a superstar. A man whose name and voice are known wherever films are shown and records and radios are played. Just as certainly, he's altered the course of history. serving as one of the original major influences in a youthful revolution which is changing the texture of society. The Elvis Presley story may also seem, in many ways, ridden with cliché. The chronicle of a poor sharecropper's son who sings in his mother's church and grows up to be an idol and a millionaire. While around him are figures who appear almost as caricatures. A gang of good old boys from Memphis. And a Barnum-esque personal manager. Perhaps this is because the Elvis Presley story is about a man whose image has mythic proportion. A man who's genuinely larger than life. The Elvis Presley story was produced and directed by Ron Jacobs for Watermark Incorporated. Written by Jerry Hopkins and based on his book, Elvis, A Biography. Production coordinators, Sandy and John Gibson. Continuity, Ellen Johnson. Engineering by Bill Hergensen, John Horton, Lee Hansen, and Steve Booth. Executive producer, Tom Rounds. This is Wink Martindale speaking. The staff of the Elvis Presley story extends special thanks to Fred Seiden in New York, D.W. Steffen in Boston, George Klein, Sid Leek, Marty Lachter, and Robert Benham in Memphis, Frank Page in Shreveport, Dave Tower in Nashville, Barry Hansen, Bob Height, and Rick Ross in Los Angeles, Rona Elliott in San Francisco, Hugh Hart in Las Vegas, Bill Kingman and Don Karen in South Lake Tahoe, Gary Taylor in Seattle, Red Robinson in Vancouver, Record Research in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, Carl Obermeyer and the Hound Dogs Elvis Fan Club in Portland, Tom Moffat in Honolulu, and the John Edwards Memorial Foundation. Extra special musical thanks to the Hound Dog Band, Dick Rosmini, Craig Durge, Stephen Cohn, Mike Botts, and Colin Cameron. And of course, our thanks to all those whose memories and music make up the Elvis Presley story.
Yeah. Watermark!